Welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson. Coming up today, details on the House Ag Committee hearing on the WIP Plus program and what California representatives had to say. But we start with today's Walnut Wednesday, learning about optical sorting for nut crops.
This segment was sponsored by the California Walnut Board.
My name is Jeff Sargent. Title is Western Operations Manager and work with Satake USA.
So Jeff, I want to talk to you today about the future of agriculture, because it sounds to me that like that is what you deal with. Mm-hmm. Where do you see us going, and how does the company play a part?
Boy, the future is about technology, innovation, efficiency, quality. Where we see it going, the sky's the limit. I have been at Satake for 38 years. Our basis, our history, was the sorting of tomatoes early on, and that's just grown. So we're very in tune to food products, the quality standards that are ever changing, and the demands that are put on our customers by their customers. That's what drives Satake. And our role is to improve efficiency and quality by handling the ever-increasing crops. The production is huge. The additional production requirements just require our customers, the industry, to be smarter about how they do what they do.
We hear a lot about the 2050 goals of having so many more mouths to feed. Yes. And how agriculture is going to handle that. Mm-hmm. And the way that agriculture is going to handle that is through advancements in technology, innovations. Mm-hmm. What are some trends that you're seeing currently?
Trends that we're seeing are to have more information available to our customers, information regarding the quality of the product. Not just these are almonds or pistachios. What do they look like? How clean are they? And then our aspect in the sorting is we're going to sort that product to a level that is unheard of, 5-10 years ago, but today it's the norm. We're talking about we used to measure our effectiveness and performance in percentages, fractions of percentages. Now our customers are being held responsible for pieces per ton, and when you do the math, pieces per ton equate to parts per million. So this is a huge change for the processing industry. When I joke with them about it, it's like, you guys don't measure anything in parts per million if it's not in a petri dish. So how are we going to be confident and what we're proposing to do? We're quite confident that technology will provide those results and these services. Now, how are you, customer, going to feel that, confident? How we know we're doing what we claim we're doing? You can't see one or two pieces per ton in a flow of product. So along with sorting now, we're going to have some more, some grading, analyzer type technology that will link together so that that product's always being watched.
Right. Mm-hmm. So give me your elevator speech about what exactly you do.
What do I do? Man, in our operation in Modesto, there's 15 of us, and we're responsible for Satake's business west of the Rockies, Western Canada, and Hawaii.
That's a big region.
It's a big region. Lots of diversity, a lot of opportunity, yet tree nuts are probably 80% of that business. My role is to basically manage the day-to-day operations and sell. I'm a selling manager, which, can be a challenge at times, but hey, that's what we do, and that's our role for Satake U.S. Take care of business west of the Rockies, parts, sales, service.
So with that diverse of a region, or that wide of a region, you must have a diverse crop that you handle. So what are some of the other crops aside from tree nuts?
Aside from tree nuts, we vegetable seeds, coffee, we do plastics, we've done various food and dry ingredients, dehydrated vegetables, spices, rock salt, table salt, various things. Yes.
That's really interesting that you get to handle so many different things.
Very diverse.
Yes. I've never talked with anybody who does anything with coffee, but I have to tell you, it's one of my favorite products.
Yeah, coffee's fun. I can't, you know, can't say that I'm a big coffee drinker until I get to Hawaii, and I'm working with the coffee people in Kona in that region. The Hawaiian coffee is very good.
Is it?
Yes.
I'll have to try that someday.
I have to try it. Yes.
What would you say is one of your most popular products currently?
Popular product currently is our Evolution product line, and it comes in two models, full color and infrared.
Okay.
And these machines used either independently or together in systems. We like to use a broad brush and call it a high-spec system. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the technologies are providing very high-end finished product. This year we have also moved into the hulling and shelling arena to apply more technology there to produce a cleaner shelled brown almond, which, if it's cleaner coming out of the sheller, the processor will have a better go.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, do you have anything else that you would like for our audience, your audience, to know about you or the company?
No, I just want everybody to know that we do appreciate our role, our business. You know, we look forward to the future and carrying on.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Our news brief is up next. We will be right back.
The Crop Consultant Conference returns live in person on September 16th and 17th in Visalia, California. Co-hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and the Western Region Certified Crop Advisors Association, this must-attend conference features 2 days of educational seminars, a live trade show, and honorariums and scholarships given by Western CCA, including the CCA of the Year Award. Hear the top experts in their field speak on pest management, artificial intelligence and new technologies, as well as the latest on soil health, nitrogen, and irrigation management. DPR and CCA credits will be available over the 2 days. For more information on credits, topics, and registration, visit progressivecrop.com/conference.
The California Walnut Board and Commission provides value to the California walnut industry by working together with growers and handlers to advance the industry. Together, the California Walnut Board and Commission are helping to protect, develop, and grow California walnuts domestically and internationally. The California Walnut Board provides funding and strategic direction on walnut production and post-harvest research designed to help support the industry and promote California walnuts. To learn more, visit our website at walnuts.org. Together we grow.
Here's your news for today. Farmers and ranchers have a seat at the table when it comes to global sustainability goals being discussed this week. Michael Klimitz shares more on how agriculture is a key player in achieving those goals.
As the UN hosts the Food Systems Pre-Summit this week, farmers and ranchers are providing input to achieve the UN Sustainability Development Goals by 2030. AFBF Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee member Charlie Ellington of Ohio took part in similar discussions this year and says it's important to have a seat at the table.
We got to put our story out there, because if we don't, someone's going to from their perspective. And there's no better way to put it out there than straight from the horse's mouth, as they would say, and talk about what we do, why we do it, and why it's important. When opportunities like these summits arise, I believe you've got to engage with and you got to take the time and the opportunity to tell our story to make sure we continue to get our seat at the table.
Ellington says farmers and ranchers want to be part of the solution.
We want to continue to improve our production, to improve what inputs it takes to get to those production levels. We want to be part of that solution and kind of the original green industry, really. I mean, that's what we do, and we've done it for a long time. We continue to get more efficient and better at it, and we're here to be part of that solution to continue to feed the world, really.
Ellington attended an independent dialogue hosted by the Animal Ag Alliance earlier this year. He says the amount of people interested in agriculture's role is encouraging.
In particular, in some of the discussions I was in a very positive way, and wanting to hear from farmers and just know what we're doing, why we're doing it, and our perspective, as well as just listening to their perspective. I think that was one of the biggest takeaways, is just how many different people were really involved in this and want to see this succeed and see the solutions moving forward.
UN Food Systems Summit events continue throughout 2021. Michael Klimitz, Washington.
The mid-year cattle inventory report released this month offers much explanation about cattle numbers and their comparison to previous years and cycles. Daryl Peel, the Oklahoma State University Livestock Marketing Extension Specialist, says the numbers offered were relatively close to expectation and offered little surprise for the mid-year cattle inventory report.
Cattle numbers peaked on this particular cycle in 2019. We've drifted a little bit lower in 2020 and January of 2021. And of course, we're in the middle of the drought now and trying to figure out the impact that that might be having. So bottom line is this mid-year cattle inventory report, the all cattle inventory was down 1.3%. All of these are pretty close to expectations, so there's no real surprises in this.
In addition, the beef cow herd is down an estimated 2%, beef replacement heifers down 2.3%, and national cattle on feed down 1.5%. Peel says the feeder supply, which is calculated from those inventory categories, is also down this year.
That's a key to confirm that we are moving through this kind of bulge of cattle that's been hanging over cattle markets, particularly the Fed market, obviously, in the first half of 2021. And all of this adds up to the idea that that problem is getting fixed. We're getting there. We're right on the verge of turning the corner there and making that better.
With beef cow numbers down compared to a year ago, that could ultimately hint at the drought liquidation.
I think we're really not going to know until we get the January numbers. If you look at beef cow slaughter for the last 15 weeks compared to 2019, it's up about 15% for that 15-week period. And if you look at the number of cows involved, you can't really tell for sure how much of that is actual drought liquidation versus how much of it is early culling of cows that would have come in the second half of the year. If we continue the pace of cow slaughter that we see up till now, then it's going to be very clear that we're cutting into the herd in a way that we never planned.
Peel adds this has ramifications going into the next 2 to 3 years.
One of the things you could see when you've got drought-forced liquidation is immediate pressure on the market. We're not seeing that in the cull-cow market right now. It's very strong. The longer-run impacts, though, if we do, in fact, cut into the herd more than we plan, then that does have implications for the next 2 to 3 years minimum going forward, and that sets us up to have even tighter supplies. We knew tighter supplies were coming. This would tighten them even further as we go over the next couple of years.
He says the long-run impacts of tighter supplies could patiently serve as a repeat of the market in 2015. Modernization of farm guest worker programs is among those avenues under consideration by ag stakeholders as a mean to resolve a shortage of workers on the farm and ranch. Rod Bain reports.
Several segments of the ag sector face labor shortages. As National Pork Producers Council President Jen Sorensen explained at a recent Senate Judiciary Committee hearing,
if the labor shortage is not addressed, it could lead to farms and packing plants shutting down,
especially in the realm of labor-intensive crops. One way to perhaps resolve this issue, modernization of programs involving our nation's migrant and farm guest workers. Retired Illinois dairy grower Lene Kustra says H2A should transform from a seasonal to year-round labor program and include certain segments of the ag sector currently excluded, such as dairy.
Dairy farmers are in a difficult spot because they cannot supplement their workforce with H-2A employees. H-2A visas do not work for dairy farms because they need qualified year-round employees.
She adds that decades-long efforts to hire domestic help for her family dairy proved
the domestic workers just aren't there, even with good pay and good benefits.
Former Assistant Secretary of Labor Leon Sequeira explains some of the other reasons behind guest worker modernization efforts.
Throughout its history, the program has been plagued by complicated regulations, bureaucratic inefficiencies, high cost, processing delays.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack adds additional shortcomings of H-2A for both farmers and workers.
Availability of H-2A workers is always in question. Wage increases or decreases are fluctuating from year to year in an uncertain path. There's a cumbersome process involved. There are uneven worker protections.
As well as separation of workers from families. So then what is needed to modernize H-2A and the farm guest worker system? The thoughts of Leon Sequeira are that
an updated H-2A program must be simpler, more efficient, less costly, and accessible to all agricultural employers.
Meanwhile, the agriculture secretary says any modernization must create for producers
a stable, secure system so you can plan ahead, so you can determine whether or not you are able to expand, able to buy that additional farm, able to expand by buying and expanding your herd. Farmers can't do that today. They can't make those decisions because they don't have the security and the stability of a system that works.
While for laborers, Secretary Vilsack believes guest worker modernization
improves housing opportunities for workers without burdening the producers with additional costs, provides worker protections, and indeed provides a pathway to legitimacy.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Environmental groups are challenging the 2020 decision by the Trump administration to eliminate most genetically engineered organisms oversight. They filed a federal lawsuit this week. Previously, nearly all GE plants had to go through formal Department of Agriculture approval before open-air experiments or prior to commercial use. However, the Center for Food Safety claims the Trump USDA regulations exempt broad categories of GE organisms from any pre-market approval. Center for Food Safety Legal Director George Kimbrell says the rules unlawfully eviscerate and abandon USDA's responsibility to protect farmers and the environment. Instead of strengthening the rules, the lawsuit claims the rule either exempts most GMOs from regulation or subjects them to cursory reviews that sidestep serious analysis of their actual harms. The plaintiffs in the case are National Family Farm Coalition, the Center for Food Safety, Pesticide Action Network North America, Center for Environmental Health, Friends of the Earth, and Center for Biological Diversity. The new National Forest Service chief says we need to be going from the defensive mode of fighting wildfires to the offensive mode of helping prevent them. Gary Crawford has more.
As of this week, we have a new chief of the U.S. Forest Service.
I am stepping into this role at the peak of the 2021 fire year.
Randy Moore telling reporters it's already a bad one with over 60 major fires going on, hundreds of other smaller ones, with firefighters desperately trying to get the big ones under control while rushing to suppress new ones.
Right now, our posture is a defensive one, and we need to build an offensive posture if we're going to begin to start addressing what's happened on our landscape.
He said right now it's an all-out effort to defend communities from the fires.
We have about 10,000 firefighters. We have about another 8,000 to 10,000 militia-type employees that can support this activity. And we'll never have enough unless we start treating this vegetation on the landscape.
But he says most of the money allocated for removing dead and dying trees and excess brush, in other words, going on the offensive to prevent fires, is being shifted to fire suppression. He says more money for prevention now would save a lot more money later on. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
That's our news for today. We will be right back.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
Welcome back. The House Agriculture Committee held a business meeting on Tuesday regarding the 2020 WIP Plus Reauthorization Act, expanding the Wildfire and Hurricane Indemnity Program Plus to 2020 and 2021. Known as WIP, the program provides payments to producers to offset losses from hurricanes, wildfires, and other qualifying natural disasters that occurred in 2018 and 2019. The bill would expand coverage to include the Western drought and other natural disasters in 2020 and 2021. Here's Committee Chairman David Scott.
This is an important, critical issue for not just our farmers, not just our nation, but for the world. For we remain the food fabric, the forestry, opportunities, and producers of the world. We're number one in the world in agriculture. And these disasters are threatening us and the world. We've done good work today, and I just want to thank each and every one of you.
California Representative Salud Carbajal was in favor of the proposal.
Over the past decade, California has become more prone to weather extremes, and the Central Coast is no exception. Our community has felt the climate crisis in a multitude of ways, more severe droughts, increasing frequency of heat waves, and record-setting wildfires. Unfortunately, we're likely to see and are already seeing another active wildfire season and extreme drought conditions. Wine grapes are the second largest valued crop in my district, which is why I've continuously advocated for critical disaster assistance for growers who were impacted by smoke taint. Unfortunately, due to a combination of challenges, including concerns about possible smoke taint from late season wildfires, for example, the value of wine grapes in San Luis Obispo County decreased 14% from the previous year and marked their lowest value in the past 5 years. I urge my colleagues to support this bipartisan bill, which provides a vital support system for producers, both in my district and up and down the West Coast, including our vibrant wine community. Thank you. I yield back, Mr. Chair.
Here's Representative Jimmy Panetta of Carmel Valley.
I would like to thank you and Ranking Member Thompson for coming together, for working together, and of course, for putting together a bipartisan bill that addresses a problem that we are experiencing, not just in my district, but throughout America, from wildfires in the west to flooding in the south to thunderstorms, huge thunderstorms in the middle of our country. Our farmers, our farm workers, our people, and our products are getting absolutely pummeled. Now, last year, in and around my district, there were five major wildfires that burned over 640,000 acres. In addition to the structural damage, these fires had significant impact on our local agricultural industry, including many of our wine grape growers in our district. In fact, according to our recent crop report that just came out this week, the total value of our wine grapes in Monterey County experienced a 43% decline in value, basically a loss of over $80 million just from the effects of wildfires. Now, this is not just about grapes getting burnt from fire, it's all about their taint from smoke. As you know, smoke can blow miles from their fires, spreading across and staying in the fields and vineyards. And when wine grapes are exposed to smoke, of course, it can result in wines with a smoky, burnt, ashy, or even a medicinal taste. Now, unless you're like some of my colleagues here who like that smoky taste in their wine, for the most part, those products are virtually impossible to market. Now, ag producers in my district have dealt with smoke taint in the past. And in those instances, the Wildfire and Hurricane Indemnity Program, WIP, has been an absolute lifeline. Unfortunately, this product has not been active since 2019, meaning that for all of their losses my producers incurred in 2020, one of the most catastrophic fire years in modern history, there was no relief available. That's why in November of 2020, Representative Mike Thompson and I introduced the WIP Plus Reauthorization Act to extend this critical program to cover 2020 losses. So you can understand why that I'm very pleased today that we're marking up this bill and that it will cover both 2020 and losses in 2021. Moreover, I'm very pleased that this is a bipartisan bill that ensures that the payment limits for WIP Plus reflect the high cost of land and labor associated with specialty crop agriculture. This bill must pass, sooner the better, because our producers cannot wait any longer. And unfortunately, fire seasons, or we should be calling them now fire years, are only becoming more intense. We need to be prepared for hotter, drier conditions across the West and a year-round risk of extreme wildfire impacting not just our food and drink, but also our health, our homes, and our environment. And part of being prepared means that we in Congress must pursue every opportunity to ensure our agricultural producers who are on the front lines of climate change have the resources that they need to keep our rural economies going and thriving in the face of these disasters. We are taking a very important step today in that direction, and I'm committed to working with you, the ranking member, and all of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to get this legislation not just through this committee, but across the finish line and signed into law. Mr. Chairman, I yield back and I thank you.
California Representative Doug LaMalfa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it.
You're recognized. 5 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I probably won't use all of it, so. I just wanted to touch on the issue with the fire season we've been having. You know, this year it's already terrible on the West, as this committee, of course, oversees U.S. Forest Service. And I'm proud to be the ranking member on forestry and conservation with my great colleague, Chairwoman Spanberger. I think you do good work on there, but we just got to bring attention more to what's going on. Unfortunately, it looks like 2021 is going to be perhaps a worse fire year. As Mr. Carbajal had mentioned, you know, smoke-tainted grapes affected the wine country and really anywhere that has good wine grape growing areas. My district has it too. So everything becomes smoke-tainted, and it's certainly not great for general health. So we also have severe drought conditions that an overgrown forest actually exacerbates, because really the amount of trees per acre that are sustainable are somewhere around 60, 70, 80 full-size trees per acre. We have cases of more than 300 trees per acre. So we got to do much more about that. We have also with the drought in general, obviously for agriculture in California, it's really on its knees right now, because so much of our ag lands have been curtailed from a halfway normal allotment to even zero down in the San Joaquin Valley, up in the north part on the Klamath Basin, Sacramento Valley, many curtailments. And a lot of people say, well, okay, it just means less farmers in California. But the crops that we grow are unique in large part to California. Many of them, our whole country supply comes from California. At least 12 crops that are grown in California are 99% of the nation's use come from our state. So the drought there and the lack of water storage that we haven't built in a long time, added to it in a long time, really is it is a factor for all Americans. So as water gets cut off, it's going to hurt all of us and all of our economy. So with the amendment that will reauthorize the Wildfire and Hurricane Indemnity Protection Program Plus, will provide necessary supplemental assistance to help farmers across the country impacted by these disasters in 2020 and 2021. So it's an important amendment for what we're dealing with out there, and just so much in the West. So I appreciate the time, Mr. Chairman and committee members, and I yield back.
And Representative Jim Costa also spoke in favor of the effort.
It reflects the needs that have taken place in recent years of the disasters that have occurred on a regional basis in farm country. Whether we're talking about, as you noted, hurricanes or floods or the incredible fires that we've seen in the West in multiple states that have created such hardship for farmers, ranchers, dairymen, and women. We know that folks are suffering and they've been hard hit. That's just the bottom line. And you add on top of that the impact of 15, now 16 months of the COVID-19. It's been a difficult, difficult time for all people in our country. But for those folks who put food on America's dinner table every night, which I like to state is a national security issue, we need to be there for them. We need to be there to respond to the natural disasters that have occurred. They are a reality, just as climate change is a reality that is impacting every region of our country. Let me speak specifically about California, the state that I represent, perhaps the largest agricultural state in the nation, half the nation's fruits and vegetables, 20% of the nation's dairy products, leader in citrus production, and the list goes on and on and on of over 300 commodities. All of these things have impacted California like they've impacted every other region of the country. This legislation is much needed because with the expansion of the WIP Plus program to cover losses in a host of different areas, including our cooperatives, as an example, the dairy industry. These critical drought conditions have impacted so many of the input costs that farmers, ranchers, dairymen, and women have to factor in as they're dealing with market prices. Farming's a risky business, I know. I'm a third-generation farmer in California. And there are a lot of things we just don't have any control over. Market prices, we don't have any control over. The weather, we don't have any control over. And so, therefore, it's important that this House Ag Committee, in a bipartisan fashion, with your leadership, Mr. Chairman, respond to the crisis that is taking place in farm country across America. The $8.5 billion authorization for 2020 and 2021 is a step in the right direction, and we must continue to be engaged. As you noted, the relief that we have had has been late. It's been slow in coming, and that just isn't right. And we've had problems, as Congressman Thompson noted, with our Farm Services Administration, and they're backlogged, and they can't produce the reports that that our producers, when they go to their offices. And guess what? You know, natural disasters you can count on, but I think they're going to continue and be exacerbated because of factors that we know today, science tells us, continue to be more difficult, more extreme in nature. And, you know, the old line, don't fool with Mother Nature. Well, we're fooling with Mother Nature, and we got to respond, because food on America's dinner table is something that we should never, ever take for granted, never. So the importance of your work product, your bipartisanship, makes a difference. Our efforts with crop insurance, with Congresswoman Buska's effort, is important. We got to work together with the Secretary of Agriculture to give him the flexibility necessary, as you noted, to respond when a crisis hit, regardless of what region of the country it may impact. And we know for certain that those are going to continue. So I add my support for this overall bipartisanship effort. We'll continue to work together because we know the crisis today is next year's crisis that we're going to have to deal with. So God bless you. Thank you very much. And I look forward to voting for this measure. Thank you.
Representative Mike Thompson, a California Democrat, introduced the bill in January. The measure passed the committee on a voice vote with bipartisan support and will be reported out of committee to the full House. Coming up Wednesday, the House Ag Committee is holding a hearing on the beef industry titled State of the Beef Supply Chain, Shocks, Recovery, and Rebuilding. You can listen to that in tomorrow's show. Up next, we hear about another ag business. We'll be right back.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Agromiora Nursery is the premier nursery in California. Whether it's almonds, walnuts, pistachios, prunes, or olives, Agromiora has been the grower's source for over 20 years and is the home of Rootpack R Almond, Grizzly Walnut, and the North American plants UCB1 and Platinum Clonal Pistachio Rootstocks. As the worldwide leader in super high-density almonds, olives, and prunes, Agromiora can show you how to cut costs and increase yields with their super high-density rootstock Rootpack 20. For more information or to schedule a site visit, contact a representative at 530-812-3398 today.
Welcome back. I had the chance to learn about several businesses at last month's Western Ag Processors annual meeting. Here are a couple of those conversations.
Could you please give me your name and your title?
Yes, I'm Sean Clemens. I'm CEO of Parity Factory.
All right. Tell me what Parity Factory does.
So Parity Factory is a software company, and we manage food and beverage operations, just the floor. So everything from receiving all the way through production, inventory management, shipping, we handle everything on the floor through barcoding and scanning.
All right. Now, I know you've got some new stuff going on with the company. Tell me what that is.
We do. So we spend a lot of our time, even though we work across all the food industries, we spend a lot of our time in the Valley working on tree nut folks. And so one of the things we've rolled out this year is grower payments. Obviously, the grower payments portion, fairly complicated for tree nuts because it's constantly changing throughout the year. And so we've just rolled that out as a cloud-native tool available not just for folks that use our software, but also for companies that that are doing it manually on Excel today. And so we're really excited about rolling that out this year and then more fully past Walnuts next year.
Was it a difficult time to roll something new out?
It was. We really had planned to unveil it at last year's WAPA, and then obviously, sadly, that was delayed until this year. But it did give us more time to work directly with our customers to give feedback on the tool set. And so it's a lot more robust than it was at the time. So it's exciting.
Do you do that often, working with the customers and getting feedback from them?
Almost always. Okay. And we've got some really great sponsors in the Valley, like Gold River Orchard. We work really consistently with Dawn and Matt over there. I mean, they have made our software better just about every day, right? And, you know, Anderson Schelling as well. They are really direct, give us great feedback, and really allow us to build a tool that works specifically for, you know, this region's agriculture. Mm-hmm. It's been fun. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other products that you have?
So, you know, we really are focused just on the inventory management, but what's interesting is we integrate with the finance system, so we're keeping those financial systems up to date, and every year that integration gets better and broader. So whether it's NetSuite or QuickBooks or Sage, we work with just about everything out there, and so we're extending the life of some of those older products for our customers, as well as making it easier for them to transition to a more modern ERP.
All right, and if there were one thing that you wanted our audience, your audience, to know about the company, what would that be?
Man, honestly, it would just be how much we invest in the product every year. I think we're probably investing about $2 million a year in making the product better and just consistently releasing new versions so that, you know, every year you show up, every new season, it just makes it easier for our customers.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Tell me your name and your company and your position.
So my name is Lucas. I work with InSort. We're an equipment manufacturing company. We produce sorting equipment for the nut industry. And I'm the vice president. I'm responsible for the sales and service in North America.
Okay, so tell me about your sorting equipment.
So we use a very special camera technology that's an in-house development. It's called chemical imaging technology. It's a full hyperspectral camera system that usually was used in like lab analytics, but we brought it to a new level where it can be used inline in sorting and monitoring applications. And it does detect invisible defects like rancidity in nuts, for example, or also any kinds of foreign materials that you want to remove from your product.
So that's very interesting, the way that you have this technology. It started with a lab use, mm-hmm. and now is being used in sorting.
Exactly. It's a very powerful technology, but on a lab scale, it was very tedious. It took a long time to get, let's say, small samples analyzed. Mm-hmm. We took that core technology and we tweaked it around until it was possible to use it inline flow. We can process up to 25,000 pounds of almonds per hour on our big sorting devices now. So we've really brought it to, let's say, a different industrial scale.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are there any other new developments with the company?
Yeah, so we also have a very exciting new piece of equipment that focuses more at the end of the line, so not so much on the processing side, closer to packaging. That's a real critical piece of equipment for, let's say, guaranteeing food safety, being able to improve the commitment that you give to your customers on food safety. It works a little bit different in terms of the reject mechanism, so there's a lot of nuances to it. But we've been very successful implementing the first couple of pieces of equipment at the end of the line to improve the food safety and also reduce the labor needed in the pack rooms.
And those are two very important things for agriculture, food safety, and mm-hmm. also using labor efficiently.
Yes.
Because we have so little of it right now. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. No, I think it really tackles two of the big issues, and I think it can be a very great tool for the processing companies. On top of that, it provides a lot of data in line. So in terms of knowing more about your product, knowing more about your quality, and being able to prove that to your customers, I think that's a real big step in the right direction of being more integrated, being more transparent in the industry.
That's our show for today. This is the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson from the JCS Marketing Team. Thanks for listening.